You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Off with True Blue LA. This is Eric Steven. It is Wednesday, June 15th. Given the date and that we're going to talk a little more about Walker Buehler's injury today, I was thinking this could be the Ides of June, but it got me to thinking, I've never really thought of Ides in any other month than March. We've all grown up hearing about Julius Caesar dying on March 15th, and the phrase, beware the Ides of March. But does it exist in other months? Apparently it does. The ancient Roman calendar, I looked up the, it had it in multiple places, but just the Wikipedia summary is concise enough. The Ides fell on the 15th for four different months, March, May, July, and October. But in other months, the Ides was on the 13th. So today isn't really the Ides of June, but it's still time to beware because we're talking about Walker Buehler potentially missing three-ish months. With his, what he clarified on Tuesday as a grade 2 flexor strain in his right elbow. Now, the good news, I guess, over the weekend, which we sort of talked about on Monday's episode here, is that, the MRI didn't show a tear of the UCL, so he doesn't need Tommy John surgery, but it's always like the worry because he's had Tommy John surgery before. He went elbow discomfort, forearm strain, flexor tendon, like all sort of related. And you think, eventually, is he going to need Tommy John or something like that? We'll see. But still sort of the same. But on Tuesday, he also said that he had arthroscopic surgery on his elbow Monday to have bone spurs removed. So the first takeaway from this is that it doesn't affect like his timeline. We knew from over the weekend that Walker Buehler wasn't going to throw for at least 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks. But around the six-week mark, they might do some more testing just to see where his elbow is at. So the return to the majors, what Buehler sort of mentioned today, was 10 to 12 weeks to get back to the majors. That basically means the best case scenario is like last week of August. And then the 12 weeks would be roughly the first full week of September. So that leaves time for, I don't know, 4 or 5 regular season starts to get ready for the playoffs. And again, this is seems like best case scenario. So from a roster planning standpoint, you don't really know. I'll link to the – I wrote about that on Tuesday. The Dodgers are okay for now, like just getting through the like the All-Star break basically. But it's pretty clear they have to add a pitcher at some point. Because, you know, what can you really count on? Like, they're expecting Dustin May back in the second half, or probably before Bueller, maybe. And they're expecting Bueller back, too. But, you know, can you count on it? Like, do you, is that your whole plan? Like, I think they'll err on the side of caution and probably add a starter at some point. But it's not like a festering wound as of this very moment. They have enough to sort of get through the next few weeks, at least till the All-Star break. So I think they're okay there. But what Bueller mentioned on Tuesday is that the timetable for the arthroscopic surgery on his elbow was essentially the same as his timetable already, which again was 10 to 12 weeks. So it didn't really change anything. He mentioned getting the bone spurs or something that's sort of bothered him the last 2-3 years. He was probably going to have the surgery this coming offseason anyway. Dave Roberts told reporters on Tuesday that, you know, and Bueller mentioned this as well, but it was essentially like a joint decision. Like, Bueller makes the call, obviously, but the team's medical staff, Dr. Neil Alatrash, who performed the surgery, Bueller's reps, and then, you know, Dodgers front office, all that. They were kind of in lockstep on this, and that was the decision they made, so... pretty aggressive, but he sort of gets it out of the way now, doesn't have to worry about it in the offseason. So in theory, if all goes well, he can have a relatively healthy offseason in terms of not in rehab mode at that point, but, you know, we'll see what happens. This, to me, like, sort of falls under the baseball players are always dealing with something. There's always something going on. Nobody's ever really 100%. In my early writing days, I was certainly too flippant in many ways. I'm sure I was very quick to, you know, use the phrase "phantom DL" at the time. But in reality, there's usually a legitimate medical reason. I know it does seem there's certainly an amount of roster manipulation that goes into some of these like injury list moves. But at the same time, there's also a lot of, like, aches and pains and legitimate, like, medical issues that are sort of going on as well. So just don't be so quick to, you know, say someone's faking an injury. Not that that's the case in this scenario with Bueller. It's just, like, it just sort of goes to show that players are always dealing with something. So, you know, don't assume someone's hurt, like if they're slumping or something, but, you know, sometimes they're related, sometimes they're not. He was not pitching sort of up to his caliber this year. His fastball was down for the last like year or so, velocity wise and spin rate. He was still like pitching okay, like this year. He wasn't like falling off a cliff, but, you know, I don't know if it's reassuring to have sort of an injury-related cause. You're like, well, at least that's that. Like, you know, maybe, who knows, but we'll get to that. Like, I'm sure we'll have time to talk about that later this year. We've seen this sort of before with other injuries. Corey Seager was the first one that came to mind. He had Tommy John surgery on his throwing elbow, his right elbow, in May of 2018, missed the rest of the year. While on rehab for that, he added arthroscopic surgery on his left hip that August. You know, same sort of thing. Like he's already rehabbing. Let's get this done and sort of taken care of. It was something that was bothering him. For a minute, I had thought Hyunjin Ryu had a similar thing, but his was just sort of a bad luck two injuries piled on top of each other. He had shoulder surgery in 2015. He came back and made one start in 2016. Then he had to go on the injured list again. He needed another surgery, this one on his elbow, but it wasn't like during his rehab for shoulder surgery, so it was just two bad luck injuries in a row. And speaking of Ryu, he got bad news Tuesday. He needs elbow surgery. He's going to miss the rest of the year. It looks like from the reports I read, and I'll link to the Associated Press recap of this, but They're not saying specifically whether it's Tommy John yet, but I believe the Blue Jays GM said on Tuesday that best case scenario is Ryu's not back till the second half of 2023. That's the last year of his 4-year, $80 million contract with the Blue Jays. So that's a real bummer for him. But yeah, like, you know, it just sort of, this stuff kind of happens sometimes. But getting back to Buehler for just a second, that means his best case scenario, again, having like a maybe a month to 5 weeks of the regular season to get ready for the playoffs. Next time he throws a baseball is essentially right around the trade deadline, which is August 2nd this year. Now, July 31st fell on a weekend, and per the CBA, there's some leeway in terms of when Major League Baseball can make the trade deadline each year. There's like a 5-day window or something. I forget the exact dates, but yeah, August 2nd is a Tuesday. I don't know why they didn't just do the Monday, August 1st, but who knows? But August 2nd is the day this year for the trade deadline, and that's essentially the point where Buehler's going to probably throw a ball again or roughly around there and perhaps get another look at his elbow. So the Dodgers might have a little more clarity at that point in terms of can we maybe get this guy back this year or not? And I think either way, they probably need a starting pitcher, but maybe the degree of urgency goes up or down depending on the results of where he's at then. But yeah, that's something to look for in about 6 weeks.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Switching gears a little bit, I wanted to talk a little bit more about just sort of miscellany stuff going on with the Dodgers. But before that, I wanted to mention, because I know it's a huge hit in the comments, at least, especially in the early mornings, I've kind of gotten off the Wordle train recently. I think it just became too much. I still like doing it, like, occasionally, but it was like an obsession almost for me. Like, I would wake up in the morning, or like, if I woke up in the middle of the night and it was after midnight, I would check my phone and let's do Wordle right now. But then it also became like not only Wordle, but all the sort of a lot of offshoots. I did Dwordle, which is two Wordles at the same time, Quartle, which is four, Octordle, which is eight. Setaquartle was my favorite for a while, which is 16 at the same time. You get 21 tries on there to get 16. It was more fun than Wordle. But then about a month ago, I learned about Duo Trigordle, which is 32. And as you can see here, I have a problem. So the last like week or so, like I've sort of not gone to my phone for in the morning or whenever, and just it was kind of by accident. Wordle was the one like I made sure to sort of play every day. The others I'd go in and out of. I'd usually play Duo Trigordle. Maybe I shouldn't play it anymore because I can't say it. But yeah, like, I accidentally missed Wordle the other day because when I played it, I forget which day it was, it said I have a streak of one, and I hadn't like missed any in a while in terms of like not gotten the word. So I was like, oh, I must have not played yesterday. Oops. And then I missed it another time, it also in the last week. So I've kind of gotten off that train. However, it's not like I'm being more productive with my time or anything. I am certainly recording this podcast and things like that. But also, I've sort of, my phone game time has been eaten up by Spelling Bee, which is on the New York Times website or app. You get, there's seven letters. One of them you have to include in every single word. You just make as many words as you can, at least four letters. And that has been an obsession. That is something where if I'm still awake past midnight, that's when it resets. I will grab the phone, and then next thing you know, it's 30 minutes later, and I'm frantically trying to add to my word total. It took me about a month, and I finally got Queen Bee status on, this was on Sunday, which is when you get, when you guess all the available words, and I think there were like 40 of them. I want to say it was, P was the middle letter, which had to be used in every single word, but I had been chasing that. I didn't know, I asked on Twitter recently about, you know, is there an end to this? Because I usually go until I try to get like genius level, which is the highest level, I guess, before Queen Bee, before getting all of them. But I didn't know if there was something where, am I just tilting, you know, at windmills here? Like, is there an end point? And I didn't know. And then people told me about Queen Bee, if you get them all. So that's a bit what I've been sort of chasing. And I got it the other day, and that, I'm still getting a thrill out of Spelling Bee, so I'm going to probably play that for a while, but sort of off the world train. But I still enjoy it when I play it, but just probably not going to be an everyday thing for me. Speaking of everyday things, I'm getting better at these segues. Last year, especially in the second half of the season, and probably especially like in August and parts of September, the Dodgers basically had a transaction, at least one, like almost every day. For a good stretch there, especially when they were going through a bunch of the bullpen games in August, and they were just sort of churning relievers and pitchers back and forth. So this year it's going to be interesting to see how they sort of handle this, because there's some different rules. Michael Grove, on over the weekend, he was, when Buehler went on the injured list on Saturday, Michael Grove had not been optioned down for the requisite 15 days yet. But because he was replacing someone on the injured list, he got to come up early. They called Grove up, who is a starter and who pitched twice for the Dodgers here, once as a starter, once in sort of mop-up relief in an inning. And they called him up as like a just-in-case, break-in-case of glass guy if they need a long reliever. This was, they had Kershaw coming back Saturday, and they just sort of wanted coverage. Like if they had to go to someone to pitch like, 2-3 innings or something like that, they could have turned to Grove. He wasn't used in either of the last two games in San Francisco, and then he was optioned on Monday. On Tuesday, the Dodgers called up Reyes Moranta, a right-hander who's more of a traditional reliever and someone they're more likely to use like in an in more of a relief setting, like in a perhaps in a game that matters, or like, not matters is the wrong word, but like in a probably a higher leverage situation than Grove would be used in, especially in relief. Now, Grove, this year, he's the first Dodger to be optioned three times since they started counting options on May 2nd this year per the new collective bargaining agreement. Teams can only option a player up to five times in one season. They relaxed the rule this year for the first month or so to account for the fact that the lockout caused a late start to spring training. There was a shortened spring, so they had some, you know, a little more roster flexibility that first month or so. This was sort of a, I believe the players, some players in the union were calling this a quality of life issue during negotiations. It was like, you know, players were subject a lot to so many ups and downs, to and from the minors. Mitch White last year with the Dodgers was optioned 10 times during the season. Edwin Ucetta was optioned 7 times during the season. I think, if I remember, I don't have it in front of me, but Darian Nunez, who's no longer, he's with the Giants now on a minor league deal. He had Tommy John surgery, but he wasn't even called up till August last year, and even he was optioned 4 times in the last 2 months. So, yeah, it was a busy time for options. So this year, once a player uses up the 5 options, for the rest of the season, he's essentially in the same boat as, like, guys who don't have options, that he'd have to be placed on waivers before getting sent to the minors. So it's going to be something to watch. Like, you know, maybe for more fungible guys, for lack of a better term, maybe they'll be used more liberally, because we've already seen the Dodgers this year, like Carson Fulmer, they called up, Robbie Erlin, called them up, DFA'd them to send them down, and then they ended up staying in the organization. So yeah, we'll see what happens there. Other Dodgers who are at two options so far this year are Justin Brule, left-hander, and Zach McKinstry and Ryan Pepio. So I guess the thing to watch with that is a couple things. One, right now we're in a week where the Dodgers have three off days, or in about an 8-day stretch. They were off Monday, they're off this coming Thursday, they're off next Monday. So they have a pretty good they can make do with whatever pitchers they have. They don't necessarily need to tax the staff because of the off days. But starting next Tuesday on June 21st, they have 20 game days in a row. That brings them within a week of the All-Star break. So, and then as of now, rosters have a limit of 14 pitchers. But next Monday, it's supposed to go down to the usual 13 pitcher limit. Now that's already been extended once this year, and you know, as long as like the players and the league agree to it, they could certainly extend it again. But if it goes down to 13, that puts a little bit of an extra crunch, especially when the Dodgers are they're probably going to get Andrew Heaney back. He made a rehab start with Double-A Tulsa on Tuesday night and pitched 5 innings, struck out 9. The thought is he's going to be pitching with the Dodgers on Sunday, and he will round out the rotation. So they will have 5 starters, Kershaw, Urias, Gonsolin, Tyler Anderson, and Andrew Heaney. And then it's just a matter of are they going to call up someone for a spot start or two during that 20-game stretch, or how much they ride those 5 pitchers. So that's something to watch, and like in doing so, like, I think if you do a spot start, it helps you go a little longer with the starters, which doesn't tax the pen as much during the games. And we'll see what they do, but it's just something to watch. So we have an option tracker on the website, something for you to keep track of. But yeah, those are things to watch. Who knows? Maybe we'll get some more Walker Buehler updates later this week. But for now, that's it. Thank you for listening, everybody, to Leading Off with True Blue LA, and we will see you tomorrow.